Hey guys, welcome to the Dad's Group podcast. My name is Blair.
And I'm Adam, also known as Burnsy.
Hey guys, before we start today, we just want to put a disclaimer out there. We're going to be talking about some pretty heavy stuff in a moment. And we just want to plug these resources for you guys. If any of these things trigger you or you identify any struggles within yourself, please go to these places to get the help that you need. So the places that we want to plug is Talked, Panda, Lifeline, and Beyond Blue. Talked is a, you can go to our website at www.dadsgroup.org, go to our Get Support tab, and you will find a link there to Talked. So that means you will get one free session to a psychologist or a counselor to help you work through this. And it's really, really cool service and system. What it does is it actually helps that, you know, you don't go on this waiting list to try and go and get in touch with a psychologist, but, you know, you'll get in touch with them pretty quickly, which is really cool. And you can find a psychologist that suits more your needs. Panda is also an amazing resource for mums and dads. So please, they're also on our website. But Lifeline, Beyond Blue are not on there, but Google them to get in touch with them. And we really encourage you to do that if any of these conversations trigger anything for you today. But for those that have been following along with us on the podcast, you'll notice that we had a couple of weeks there that where we didn't come out with any content. And we wanted to just take some time and just to share that journey with you guys, be transparent and just to, yeah, I mean, we're on a journey together and we want to journey with you guys too. So I'm going to pass over to Adam. Burnsy, mate, share with us what's been going on, dude.
Yeah, mate. So again, like we did have that bit of a lull period there for a couple of weeks. And for me, what was going on and why I wasn't creating the content that I'm usually working on with Blair and the team is I was having some mental health issues or struggles. And it got to the point where I just needed to sort of strip back some of my commitments, not my clothing, but create a bit of space for myself, and particularly, you know, with the little one and for my family, just to, you know, make sure that the priorities were still being met in terms of my own health and well-being and my family, just making sure that those things stayed priorities and I wasn't sort of chasing my own tail. So, you know, sort of stripped back everything, took some time away, stepped back from a lot of my commitments, just so I could get my head straight again. And, you know, I think, you know, we can get into that habit of like, we'll just push through and once it's, you know, we just get past this next part and then everything will be okay. But I found that I was at a place where it wasn't just about getting to the end of this next part. It was actually about I need to create some time and space for me here. To really connect in with myself, connect in with my family, and yeah, just sort of address some of those issues that have been stirring within me, some of those things that are really challenging me and pushing me, you know, making me feel on edge. And so, yeah, I took some time away. I took some time away from Dad's Group, and you know, the guys, Blair and the team, were really supportive. Like I was getting really supportive messages from the guys that whole time, which, you know, I think it just speaks to like when we talk about Dad's Group, like we live it as much as we, you know, do the podcast and we create all this content. Like we are a Dad's Group as well as a team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I was really, really blessed to have the guys just sort of looking out for me during that time and really just taking everything off my plate and telling me it was okay to step away and take as much time as I needed. During that time, I connected in with Talked, as Blair was saying, that's a service where you can get connected in with a psychologist or a counselor without those extended waiting periods. And so I was able to connect in with a psychologist and get some really great support from someone who, knew what they were talking about, who, were skilled to help me through, navigate through that time so I could come back refreshed, so I could come back and be able to give my all again. And what's really great about Talk, if you know, if you're looking for a psych or looking for that extra support, I definitely encourage Talk, because they have within their site where you can get matched up with a professional. And so you can filter out, you know, by age or by gender or by even like their different specialties within their their therapeutic support. So Talked was a massive one for me, just to be able to get connected in with someone straight away and to sort of cut through some of that preamble and just go, look, man, this is what's going on for me. Let's talk it through. So if you've never seen a psych before, definitely recommend, or a counselor, or had any other support before in that space, I definitely recommend Talked, because it is going to make it so simple to get connected in with someone who's really going to meet you where you're at. And I just recommend that support in general. Like, you don't have to be on the edge, or you don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to be burnt out. Like, we all have stuff going on and we all need someone to talk to. And, you know, for me during this time, that was Blair and the dad's group guys. It was my family. It was some of my mates. It was my psychologist through Talk. And when you have that network around you and you're able to create some time and space, and it doesn't have to be stepping away from everything, but I think we do have to prioritize how we're going, particularly when, as dads, we have people who count on us professionally, in our personal lives. I think it's just so important to make sure that we're not just pushing just to get through this next part so that we can take a breath. Like, take the breath now, you know, like, prioritize that now. So, yeah, just wanted to, I guess we just wanted to share that at the start of this episode that, you know, we're not perfect. we're not experts in that sense. We're not super dads. We do have our struggles. And yeah, I guess to share this, not as a look at me thing, but, you know, to encourage any of our dads out there who do have some stress or some anxiety or some mental struggles, like, it is okay. Doesn't make you a bad dad, doesn't make you a crap dad, doesn't make you a bad person or a weak person or less than, makes you human. And, you know, all of these supports are in place to support you. So do reach out. I know how intimidating it is, but I think for our kids, for our families, and also just for, like, our community, as we go forward, like, we have a greater awareness around mental health. We have a greater awareness about how to support it. It is so much easier doing it with other people, seeking support and taking that journey with other people and doing it together. So, yeah, we just wanted to share that at the start of this episode. Again, if anything that I've shared is triggering, Talked, you can find them on the Dad's Group website, Panda, Lifeline, or Beyond Blue. Don't do it alone. Get that support.
Yeah, man. And, you know, don't wait until you do get to that breaking point as well. Mm. Something that Burns and I talk about sometimes is a quote from a guy named Craig Rochelle, where he talks, where he says, asking for help isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. Mm. You know, when we don't ask for help and we get to that breaking point, it doesn't just impact us anymore, guys, man. Like, you know, we've got a family now. Like, that impacts those that are around us. And so I just want to encourage you, do not wait to that breaking point. You know, go get the help, prepare yourselves, you know, exercise those muscles. You know, the beauty of, you know, with Burnsy and I, like, we're talking about, we do this every week. We get to catch up and encourage each other and check in every week. And we just had that 2-week period where we had to slow things down. Mm. That's what Burnsy needed. And I've definitely been in those stages too. Like, I've experienced extreme burnout where I couldn't get off the couch for 2 weeks. Like, literally could not get off the couch. And it was really, really hard. So we want to encourage you, get the help you need. But Burns, I just had one more question for you, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In light of that, you know, because this is always a question too, when we know someone that's going through that, as a mate, like, what did you find helpful? Like, what would you recommend, say, for me? Yeah. How could I best support you in that season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, that's a great question. And I've actually, you know, with different people, I've even before this, I'd said, look, you know, like, this is where I really need some support. And, you know, Blair and I, we know that he knows, you know, some of my mental health struggles, and we've figured out a nice rhythm that, you know, he just stays in touch. It's just a message, or it's just a voice memo, or it's just something to stay in contact. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a, hey, how you going? Like, is everything okay? What can we do? For me, that's not helpful, but you know, for others that might be having someone who can check in with them. But you know, like, so all the people in my life, like I know who I go to for different things. And you know, I mostly make it clear with them what I'm sort of needing when I'm in that space. You know, so there are some people that I need to get through an episode, or I need to get through a dip or a downtime, and then I'll talk to them. And then there are some people where, yeah, like just that constant touch point that doesn't necessarily, like it could be about anything. Like, you know, Blair sent me some love notes, which were lovely. But, it could just be, you know, something funny and silly, but like just to keep that contact going. And then other people, it might be, you know, like for example, my wife was checking in with me every day, like, how are you going out of 10? Like, where you're at? And, you know, so you figure out what is helpful for you. And with a lot of people in my life, that's been trial and error. And it, you know, there's a bit of courage it takes to say to someone, actually, no, I don't need that from you right now. Can you just give me a couple of days, a week, whatever it might be, and let's reconnect at that point? Or, you know, texting someone and saying, mate, just send me something funny. Like, you know, so I think you build your network around you, and you know who you go to for different things, and you let them know what is helpful. And sometimes you don't know, like when I'm in a dip, when I'm flatlining, or when I'm, you know, as Blair, you know, that illustration of like you're just on the couch or in bed and you can't get up, you can't do anything. I know for me, that's not when I want to be asked what's helpful, how can I support you? It's outside of that time where I can constructively say, actually, like if I'm in that space, and that's where the vulnerability comes in, right? Because you do have to fess up, like, yeah, I do have struggles. And when I'm there, as much as there's, you know, I might attach shame or guilt or, you know, just consciousness to that. But if I'm in that space, then please, like, this is what's helpful. Yeah.
Mate, thank you so much for sharing that with us, dude. And I love it. I love the transparency, and I love that we do this journey. You know, we do some of the journey publicly because our hope is that, you know, we can make these feelings normal, you know, but we really challenge and we encourage to get the help that is needed to get through these feelings. So thank you so much for sharing that, mate. And it's just great to be able to touch base again. This is the first time we've caught up in a couple of weeks. So yeah. Like, you know, properly.
It's such a love notes.
I'm loving today. Exactly. I've got to keep those up. I've got a quota. But no, thanks, mate. Hey, so we're going to get into the podcast episode now.
Who we got this week?
This week is a funny one in terms of not necessarily like a lot of jokes, but the recording was a mission. It's with me and my mate, Aaron. So Aaron and I are two of the three Dad's Group leaders in Orbo Wodonga. We've just become mates through Dad's Group, really, really strong mates. And we catch up and we chat about what fills our cup, like how do we fill our cup and everything, like in terms of energy, in terms of excitement and enthusiasm with this whole parental journey, like how do we do that? So that's our conversation. Now, in this interview, man, we interviewed in his garage. The echo is crazy. So we're going to do what we can do to try and edit that out. But we had so many distractions. We had like five airplanes fly over. We're not even near an airport. Five airplanes fly over. We had people outside his garage slamming doors. We had people yelling. It was just the most disrupted episode I've ever done. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I love these conversations. Like this is a really cool insight into, again, what we encourage with Dad's Group. And this is a really cool insight into mine and Aaron's mateship, because this is how we catch up. Like when we're low or we're really struggling, we say, look, we need to go grab a beer or we need to go out for a dinner. We go out and these are the sort of conversations we have. So this is a really authentic interview, which I'm happy with. This is genuinely us. This is how we chat on a regular. This isn't just something that's prepared and rehearsed. This is really our relationship. So I would love to share that with you guys, and I really hope that you guys get encouraged by it. Yeah, thanks guys. Enjoy. Great. Welcome guys to the Dad's Group podcast. We are so pumped to be here. I am joined today by Aaron McDougall. Hey Aaron, how are you going?
Mate, yeah, good. How are you?
Good, mate. If you guys saw our setup today, it would make you giggle. We're in Aaron's gym at his home. His wife is a PT. They've got their own gym in the back.
We've got rugs up trying to get rid of some of this echo that you're going to be hearing in this podcast. We've done the best that we can. Please forgive. We've got the garage door open a little bit. We've got cars driving past. There's a big puddle outside. It's making plenty of noise, so it's fantastic. But yeah, we're going to be here. We are here, and we are going to have a chat. So it's good.
I'm pretty sure this is how Joe Rogan started out anyway.
How he started
out? In a gym with a sheet. Joe Rogan, heard of him?
Yeah.
Reasonably successful podcaster. He's done all right.
We'll get better. Yeah. Nice, man. Well, no, that's good, mate. So what we do at the beginning of every catch-up, even not even just every episode, when we catch up. So Aaron and I, you would have heard of Aaron in a previous podcast episode. We are leaders of the Auburn Wodonga Dads Group here. And yeah, so we just catch up semi-regularly. You know, one of us is having a rough time or just needs some bro time, whatever it is. We usually catch up for a meal or a beer or whatever else, but also catch up at a park with our kids and all that. So what we do on our catch-ups, we ask every time, how are you out of 10, mate?
Yeah, thank you for checking in. So emotionally, I'm like 9 or 10 today. I feel great, nice. But physically, probably a 5. Like I said to you before, our youngest, he's 5 months old. We think he's having like a sleep regression. So it's just hard. Like my wife, especially because she's still breastfeeding, she's exhausted. I'm trying to pick up the other slack with the other two. So we've got 3 kids, 3-year-old, 1.5-year-old and a 5-month-old. So yeah, I'm trying to do more with the others. Ash has got her hands full sort of feeding Arlen and she's up with him most of the night. So Yeah, physically just very tired, a little bit of a space cadet today. But yeah, physically like feeling good, like I'm training and eating well, you know, that's important to me. So physically feeling really, really good, but emotionally feeling really, really good, but just physically tired.
So because you guys are going through a transition at the moment too, right? Because Ash is taking on more work and you're taking a step back.
And that has
a whole other level of complications, but 100%. Even just getting used to, right? So you're like, so how's that been, like your emotional, because that would tie into the emotional sort of 100%. Stuff, right?
It's been such a mixed bag. So, there was a big transition for me to, like, as a man, traditionally we're seen as, like, the providers, right? And not the sole caretakers of kids.
Yeah.
So it's been difficult for me to step back my own work. And I think the learning curve for me is I still need to do some work. Yeah. Like, I don't think I could ever be a completely full-time dad. I think that was the dream originally, but I like having my projects on the side, and we manage an Airbnb as well, so I do that, and that's ticking along, keeping me busy. So I've got time away from Ash and the kids, and I've got my own sort of projects, and it gives me a bit of purpose outside of my family as well, which I think is really important. But financially, it's been great. Like having Ash is really good at what she does. You know, she charges a premium, and she's one of those people that has to work too. So it's just great, you know, for a while. And I know you and I have talked about this. We made a lot of cuts. Like we cut back where we could live very, very leanly for a while, so we could really focus on our kids. And it's nice. You know, we're stopping our family. We're going to have, like, we know we're only having 3 kids. We found like a really, really good routine now. So it's really nice to be having, you know, some money coming in again, get some savings, get excited about maybe planning some trips, that kind of stuff. So overwhelmingly, it's been really, really positive. But yeah, in saying that, as you know, there's all kinds of new challenges that come with having 3 kids on your own. And the added stress, I suppose, for Ash. She's working, she's a bit more like emotionally and mentally tired, and I'm having to pick up the slack there.
For sure. And thank you for asking me too, how I'm out of 10. I really appreciate that.
This is all about me, mate. You
know that. That's cool. So for me, mate, I'm all over the place, I think. Like, again, I have to like categorize in different ways. Like, I think at home, I'm doing well, like I'm probably a 9 or a 10. Things are going great. The kids are awesome. You know, they're kids still. Like it's still a challenge, but you know, we're getting ready for number 4, which is just really fun. Sammy's been like just making. She's in her nesting period, which is really cool. So just interior design stuff happening, which is really nice. Backyard, it's my area. It's been neglected a bit, dude. Like our grass is a forest at the moment. But yeah, work's a bit stressful. At the moment, so probably a 6 or a 7. I've got 2 jobs at the moment. So I'm part-time dad's group, part-time somewhere else. So that's been hard to juggle a bit. So probably a 6 or a 7 there. But I think what brings me down, and we had a, and I put a post up on our digital dad's group page this week as well. But like, so today, all my kids are at school, right? So Charlie's going to primary school. So our oldest is then the first that's in school. He's 4 days a week now. He'll go to 5 days a week, I think his next term or whatever it is. And I'm really wrestling with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's funny. Like I'm wrestling more than Amy is, my wife. Like it's, it really bugs me too, because there's a big part of me where it's like, all right, man, I've invested 6 years into this boy's life. Like I'm so intentional. I know the man that I want to raise. I don't want to raise boys. I want to raise men, all this sort of stuff. And I have my values and I want them to have these values. And then they go off to school and it's like been 2 days in a row. And that's weird. I've never had Charlie at 2 days of school in a row, right? Yeah. It's just really, really weird. But and the majority of the time that he has with people now, and the people that spend the most time investing in him is not me now.
Yeah.
And that's really hard for me to wrestle with, dude. And you know, I know it's a good lesson for me to learn as a dad. I know it's a good lesson to let go. But at the same time, it really shows me the value that I have in my role as dad and the intentionality I want to be in, like to have with this role and how I want to raise men. And it's sort of, again, just sort of re-emphasizing that passion and that desire for me to teach these kids and stuff. So now I've got a whole bunch of other ideas. I want to go camping a lot more. All this sort of stuff of what I want to do with the boys and Ellie as well,
100%.
Which is a little bit older.
Yeah. And I know you, mate, like you're all in as a dad, you work for dad's group. I spend time with you socially outside of this, and I've seen you with your kids, and you've done it. Yeah. You've done a great job with them.
Yeah.
And like, I think you and I'm going to be in the same boat when my kids start going off to school.
Yeah.
Because you have been so invested in them, but I only see that as a positive. Like you've done so much work with your kids. And of course, like you say, there's external influences now. But that's not like your role is just shifting now, isn't it? Like now your role is to kind of, the kids are going to come to you with challenges and stories and things that have happened at school and you're going to be able to like guide and direct them and trust that all the work you've done previously is going to set them up for, because I think that's something that is probably a nice segue, something that my dad did really, really well with me and my brothers. And especially like we've spoken in this about before, like the culture in my rugby club was really good growing up as well. Is it kind of set us up for success when we were growing up where, you know, like anyone, I got in some really challenging, like dangerous, dodgy situations as a teenager, as everyone does. But I always remembered, like I had my 2 brothers around me. I had like a good group of mates. And because of the example my dad set and all the work he's done and the other mentors and role models in my rugby club, I was able to just walk away.
Mm.
You know, whether it was a fight, whether it was, you know, drugs or, you know, drinking too much alcohol or, you know, bad decisions with women, whatever it was, I was just in a good place. Obviously my dad wasn't there. And I would be like, can I go out with my mates tonight? He's like, yeah. So he wasn't controlling me, but he'd done all that work previously that I was able to make not 100% right decisions all the time, but I'm really, really grateful that he instilled those lessons in me, that I was able to make better choices. And I saw my mates not making good choices, right? And I saw people around me doing things and I didn't really understand why they would do them. And then it's because maybe they didn't have the support growing up. They felt like they just went along with the crowd. They just gave into peer pressure.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm really grateful for that my dad did, that I want to do with my kids. And that's what I'm seeing that you're doing with, you know, with yours.
Yeah.
Is you're giving them the tools to go out in the world and make, you know, make the better choices when they're confronted with them.
Yeah.
So like you say, it's you don't have control of it anymore, but you've done enough and you'll continue to do enough that they, you know, they're going to find their own way with your guidance. So, yeah,
I appreciate that, mate. And you're exactly right, dude. And I love talking to you about your dad. And we're going to get onto that another day, yeah. I think. Like, because it's a whole podcast episode about the lessons you learned from your dad and stuff. It's really encouraging. Just want to say to our listener, you're going to hear a lot of random noises in here. I don't know what's going on outside, but it's all good. The conversation still happens. But that's fantastic, man. And so, you know, we're in similar life stages. Muzz is in school next year.
It's really bad. No, year after.
Yeah.
So 2 years. So he's got a couple more years in. So he goes to daycare 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're still like, we're not sure what we're going to do in terms of schooling. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know where we're going to send him. We've toyed with the idea of homeschooling our kids as well. Probably for similar reasons that you said, like, yeah. you know, I've worked in the education system myself. And although there's a lot of wonderful people that work there, I've just seen like the workload and the stress that a lot of teachers are under. And you know, some of the behaviors that they have to deal with, and some of these kids that are coming in that maybe aren't as fortunate and haven't had the upbringing, haven't had like the intentional fathers that we're trying to be.
Mm.
They're bringing a lot of trauma, really struggling with their behaviors, and they're bringing that to the classroom. And that can be, you know, the knock on for that can be quite, you know, traumatic for the kids that are there, you know, seeing some things that they would never see at home and some language and some behaviors. So yeah, like it's, I guess I'm probably not helping your anxieties here.
No, like, dude, this is great. It was funny, like another co-leader of ours, he works in the schooling system here in Albury-Wodonga, and he's just shared with me, like I told him how I'm just struggling with choosing the school, and you know who I'm talking about, Aaron. You know, sharing with him how I'm struggling on choosing a school because it's such a big decision, blah, blah, blah. And his response is by telling me all these horror stories, yeah. all these kids that he deals with, man. I was like, doesn't help.
True.
Does not help. But it's a good lesson, mate. Like, because that's the thing is, and we're going to sort of shift gears on our conversation shortly. You know, we're talking about schooling and stuff, which is probably quite a bit ahead of our listener here or right where they're at. But what we do want to talk about is, and Aaron and I haven't chatted yet. Like I seriously rocked up here, realized how echoey was, trying to figure out how to use our microphones. And
yeah.
we sat down and started chatting. So this is very raw for you guys. But what we did want to talk about is something that we talk about quite regularly and still try and work on and encourage each other is just that feeling of being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, probably what's the biggest difference for me with parenthood, like expectations versus reality, reality is I'm a lot more overwhelmed than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
I knew it would be life-changing. I knew that, you know, it's going to take all of me, but I didn't understand. I never really experienced overwhelmness like I do as a dad. But so for you, Aaron, what does overwhelm look like for you? Like what's something that typically triggers that feeling and then how do you deal with it?
Yeah, I don't know if I do deal with it, to be honest. But look, I think overwhelm for me looks like when I've got all the kids like needing something off me all at once. And that's usually, like I was saying before, my youngest, he's still breastfeeding with my wife. She's gone back to work. So we're really fortunate. The gym backs onto our house. My wife's clients are all really cool. So they're happy for me to bring Arlen in for, you know, for a feed during the session, but I don't want to just bring him in if he's not hungry. So I'm trying to go through the checklist. Like, is he hungry? Like, is he gassy? Is he just still tired? You know, if he's woken up for a nap, does he have a dirty nappy? So I'm trying to do all this. And then the other two are like really crying out for attention as well. Isabel will be like clinging to my leg crying. She just wants cuddles while I'm trying to deal with Arlen. And then the way Murray sort of, the way he'll try and get her attention is he'll just start doing really dumb stuff, like doing flips off the couch or, you know, hurting Isabel or just screaming, running around. So they're all vying for attention in their own way. And, you know, like I'm only one man, right? Mm. So I'm trying to.
This would also like now highlight too, dude, because you are the main person staying at home. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's huge because I'm in the opposite situation to you. Like, so I was a stay-at-home dad for, you know, maybe it was an 8-month period. It wasn't, you know, years. And then, Yeah, like, and then now we're in a transition out of that. But I remember, like, that was the biggest thing, dude, is feeling overwhelmed and just be like, oh, can I do this? Like, can I do this every day, you know? And again, sort of our personalities and our priorities or whatever you want to call it are like, no, I needed to be able to do this. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be the guy that can't do this. I want to be able to support my wife. If she needs to do this, I want to do this, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard. Like being overwhelmed, like I was saying before about expectations versus reality, this is probably the hardest thing for me out of parenting is just the amount that I'm feeling overwhelmed. And you said before, though, you said like you don't know if you do deal with being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's not true. Because we do talk about this quite a lot and we put things in place. So I want to hit you up on that too.
Yeah.
So what is something that we do? Yeah. And this is for our listener as well, man, because, you know, this is something that you and I have discussed about a lot and like, well, what do we need to be able to perform the best, for us to be able to be the best dad that we can be? Yeah. What's something that we need? So with dealing with overwhelmed, what are some practical things that
you do? Yeah. So I reckon there's two main things here. And I just wanted to jump back a step and just say like, when I say I don't deal with the overwhelm, they're the moments when I don't dad the way I want to or the way that I thought I would. Yeah. So they're the times when I like snap.
Yeah.
I might yell at the kids. I might say something like a bit spiteful or, you know, I might, especially with my son, like I might be a bit rough if he's trying to jump on me or hurt his sister. I might pull him away and I'm rougher than I'd like to be. So they're just the moments where, I'm not proud of myself. Yeah. That's not how I want to show up as a dad.
Yeah.
The two main like tools I have with that is probably the first one, and I learned this from you, and when you talk about expectation and reality, is it's twofold. It's about like cutting myself a little bit of slack and going, I'm here with like three kids by myself. It might be raining, you know, like we might not be able to go out. My wife's in here working. Like, it's okay if I just chuck a movie on and then we all just sit on the couch, watch a movie, like microwave popcorn's like the new thing in our house. Pretty like low calorie, low sugar. The kids can just smash it. It's just about going, okay, like I'm just got to manage my expectations a bit. I'm probably not going to be doing like arts and crafts with all three of them while Ash is in here working. There's a time and place for that. Like this morning, you know, before the podcast, Ash didn't work this morning either. So like, we took the kids to the park. We've been outside for hours, you know, had some real healthy snacks down by the lake around the corner. So yeah, it's just about going, just because like I'm I don't want to say like bad parent because it's not, but like I'm doing things that I don't necessarily like want my kids to have too much, you know, screen time or have too much sugar or whatever it might be. There's a time and a place for that. And sometimes, you know, if the difference is, I'm going to give the kids something sugary and let them play on their tablets or watch TV compared to I'm going to try and do the right thing, air quotes, and then snap at them, right? Mm. And yell. It's kind of like, well, it's the lesser of two evils, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
To lower those expectations just for that hour or just for a couple of hours, whatever it might be, in order to, you know, everyone to get through it unscathed, I suppose. The other one, and this is where I've been focusing more of my attention recently, is like, you know, they talk about filling your own cup. So something I've noticed is I get overwhelmed more easily when I'm tired, stressed, just not in a good headspace. If I'm eating foods that aren't good for me, if I've been consuming the wrong kind of like social media or, you know, watching rubbish on TV, whatever it might be. So I'm really, really intentional about, like, I try and exercise as much as I can. I try and eat like good food. I try and spend quality time with Ash, you know, hang out with good mates. Like that's been a big thing for me the last few months is finding those friendships. So I can kind of be Aaron and not just like dad all the time. And what's really cool about our relationship is I can kind of do both sometimes as well. You know, like we can go do something that we want to do, whether it's like camping or four wheel driving or whatever it might be, but we can bring the kids as well. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
But you still need both, right? You still need like time alone as a dad, as a man, doing what you want to do. They're my two main things is like managing those expectations and then making sure I'm still doing things that I want to do and that I need to do, you know, to be the healthiest, happiest version of myself.
That's good, man. And thank you for clarifying as well what you mean about, you know, you don't feel like you're dealing with being overwhelmed. Like, that's good because, you know, exactly right. We're not trying to be, we're not the perfect parents, and we're not trying to fool ourselves of being that, but this is just about us continually growing in that role of fatherhood. So, and it's being intentional about those things. And I relate to all of those. Obviously, you know, you just shared something that I encouraged you with, and what you said about filling your cup thing, that's actually something that you encouraged me with. And that was huge because, you know, for our listener as well, like, I moved up in this area a little while ago, and a couple of years ago now, and it was really hard. That transition, everything with kids is harder.
Yeah.
Everything with kids is harder, man. So, like, yeah, moving away from Melbourne with kids is, I just found so much harder, man. Like, it's trying to look after yourself. It's trying to help them settle into a new area. So it's like, where's the freaking shops? You know, like, just little things like that. Where do I go to get good pizza? I just want good pizza. And you're going around to five different places, but they all suck. And it's just like, there's just so many of these little things that you take for granted when you've been in a place for so long.
And routine's so important with your kid. Like, exactly. I find even if we just go on holiday with the kids, it's a struggle because it's just like, we just want to walk to the park. We don't even know where the park is.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Google Maps is just around the corner. Like, half an hour later, it's hot. You haven't got their drinks. You're and still for walking.
29 minutes of that half an hour, the kids are like, why aren't we there yet? Yeah. You just said it's around the corner, man. What are you doing to me? But it's exactly right. And that's what we want to really encourage here is what we want to encourage each other is be looking at what fills our cup. So with feeling overwhelmed, I'm the same. You know, like, so there's a couple of different things that I learned. I burnt out from work a couple of years ago, which is why I went to full-time stay-at-home dad, because I just wasn't coping with my mental health. Never really experienced mental health before until my burnout, and it was just a real struggle to work through that. And so, but a big thing that I did was meditation. Now, I'm a man of faith, and so I did a lot of my meditation on the Bible and scripture. And I did that through prayer and stuff like that too. But just that whole getting away, removing yourself from the situation at hand was a big thing for me. Like, the kids are just going nuts. They're yelling at each other, or just not even just going nuts. Like, but you get 500 questions in 2 minutes. You know, that's the sort of stuff that really gets me. Or the dad. It's so much.
I don't think we're quite at the question stage yet.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was my morning this morning. I was just like, okay, you guys, you have to breathe in between questions. Yeah. And when someone else asks a question, you have to wait your turn.
Listen to the answer, because they might ask a question and you answer, because I used to have this at the kids at school. You'd answer it, and then another kid would ask the same question. Yeah. Like, I literally just answered that. Yeah.
I did that three times, man, on repeat. And then Ellie's in this stage right now as well, where she asks a question, but she doesn't listen to the answer.
Oh, yeah.
So she'd be the third one to ask it, but she asks it five times, you know. But anyway, so it's these things like, so removing yourself from a situation and just breathing and just like, and for me as well, like, it was down to, I got two different levels of stress or overwhelmness. One's in my head and one's in my body.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it's like, one, my body's a little bit more emotional, a little bit more, I don't really know how to explain it other than emotional. And my head, so I get my head like sort of overwhelmedness when it's like a million questions, or if work's stressful or something else like that. And I get my body stress or anxiety, whatever else it is, if it's a bit more emotional, or like if the kids hurt and then other kids are crying and stuff like that too. It's just me. It's not the same for everyone. But what I would do, and this is what I learned through my burnout period, is to remove yourself from the situation and breathe. Like, so breathing exercises became massive for me. And like I said, I would meditate on scripture, meditate on prayer, but I'd also just focus on my breathing and like close my eyes and picture on, like, just feel my breath, like me breathing, and feel where the stress is. Is it a body stress or is it a head stress? And then, because then when I started to do that, when I started to identify where that physical feeling was, it helps me to, one, identify it and be like, all right, I'm stressed. I just need to just let it go. And there's all these breathing exercises you can do, and you'd be able to practically work through that. So on a practical sense, like in the moment, that's what's helped me.
I love
there's,
that.
There's a lot of different things. Do you have anything that you do in the moment?
Yeah, and then that's a really good point, because I guess when I talk about filling my cup, like a big part of my philosophy on parenthood is like, it's like an ongoing thing. And obviously when you're in the moment and everything's kicking off, it's, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the gym this week and I'm going to X, Y, Z. But it's like, what am I doing right now when like all my kids are screaming at me and I'm just about to blow my top? And it's a really good point is Ash and I will just take breaks. Because that was hard for me. Like it's part of my personality. I just try and take everything on. So I just wanted to be like, you know, Ash might be like, she's been up all night breastfeeding. She's really struggling. She's gone and had a sleep. I'm watching the kids while she's having a sleep. And she'll get up and she maybe didn't have quite as much sleep as she'd want. So she's still really tired. And I'm like wired. Like you said, like I'm stressed. I'm feeling it in my body too. I'm not great at going, hey baby, I just need like 10 minutes. And that's something she's encouraged me to do. And it's just a game changer.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely like it's about having that communication with your partner and just going. And like 99% of the time, she's absolutely great. She's like, go have an hour, take as much time as you need, you know. But in my head, I'm just like, she's as stressed as I am. But that's often not the case, because generally when I'm the most stressed, it's because she's had a break or she's been working, which is like a different kind of stress, but it's still time away from the kids, right? So it's that, it's a different kind of stress. So yeah, that would probably be like number three. It would be like, manage your expectations, make sure you're filling your own cup and doing, you know, still living your life as an individual rather than just dad. And yeah, like asking for help and just being able, and I'll literally just go and lie on my bed for 10 minutes in the dark. I don't have any like intentional breath practice. And now you've said that, I think I'm actually going to incorporate that, because that's really going to leverage that time. Whereas at the moment, I just might just, and look, sometimes I might just go on my phone for 10 minutes, which it isn't ideal, but it's just a separation. It's a
space.
It's just having some space. Some separation, like I say, 10, even 20 minutes. And I just come back in the room and then I'm just the dad I want to be again. I'm playing games with the kids. I've got ideas about what we could, let's go outside and do this and do that. Rather than just like watching the clock and just being like, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next couple of
hours. And the thing is, when we're overwhelmed, well, especially for me, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm causing Amy to be more overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like my reactions and my responses to the kids and stuff like that too, because I've got a shorter fuse than Amy as well. And so she's at a point now where we do this for each other actually. It's like, no, you need 10. Like, go take 10. And
really
so,
healthy. Yeah.
Because that's why, like, because the thing that I hate the most about feeling overwhelmed is my actions, is my reactions, but how I'm now, like, my reactions and actions have now just created a whole vibe. Everyone's stressed. You know what I mean? I'm not making it easier. I'm just unleashing the stress, but it's making it worse.
And we're like being stubborn because we're like, no, I want to stay here and be a good dad.
Exactly. Like, well, no, I don't need time away.
We're actually like, we're not being a good dad in the moment. So, and I think that's a really good point, because I think a lot of us who are really intentional fathers and like want to be present and want to do the best for our kids, we're probably guilty of trying, maybe not trying too hard, but like neglecting ourselves. And that's why I have to be so intentional about filling my cup, is I've got mates who are great at like, they're non-negotiable on the golf course. They're non-negotiable at work. They do all these things. And from the outside looking in, I'm like, that makes me uncomfortable. Whereas I'm the other way. Like I'm probably like my kids and family are the non-negotiable, which means my own mental health and physical health and my own needs often get left out. So, I think that's a really good point to make.
So with that, that's a really good thing to highlight as well, is you get different sorts of priorities, right? You've got some guys that just struggle to step up to the plate, you know, with fatherhood in terms of, you know, like they're just overwhelmed. And so the way that they just can't be in the home. I connected with the guy recently, actually, that was his story. It was just like, I just can't be home. I'm just too overwhelmed. And then you get the guys that are like, no, I just can't go out golf. I just can't do this because they need me at home. I need to be this.
And they feel guilty when they're not there.
And that was a little bit of our story, right? Yeah, we didn't look after ourselves. And so especially me, I became this dad that my intentions were there, but there's a whole vibe in the house, right? How do you balance that? How do you balance looking after yourself but being present? And how do you tell, like, when you're doing well on either? And I've thrown you under the bus here, man. That's a big question.
It is a big question. I don't think there's like a generic answer for this because it probably sounds like a cop-out. It's so individual. I'll share a little bit about how I knew. And this is probably, like, is it cool if I get like a little bit like open and personal here and share a bit?
Man. So just don't take your clothes off.
No, well, they're already off. Yeah, sure. The beautiful thing about a podcast. it's hot today.
We're in a shed.
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest like mirrors for me is like my relationship with Ash.
Mm.
So, you know, one of the ways I realized I wasn't on the right path is like just physically, like we weren't being intimate with each other. We didn't have like the relationship that I wanted. So I did a lot of research. I did some reading. I read some books. There's a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover, I think his name is. And it was just, I think I've read two books in my life that were like kicked me in the guts. And it's just like, as a life-changing book, I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is me. Mm. And it was just about like, And in my whole history of people pleasing and trying to be a nice guy and trying to take care of everyone else, which are all wonderful qualities. And I still love that about myself, but I realized how much I was neglecting myself and therefore not actually being on paper. I was a good dad, right? But in reality, I wasn't like living up to my full potential as a man. So I actually wasn't being a good husband and a good dad, even though I was. Because sometimes, and this still fries my brain, like sometimes being a good husband is like disagreeing with my wife, right? Because it's like trusting myself and going, actually, you know, I was raised to respect women and I was terrified of being chauvinistic. And, you know, my dad's a great, great role model, like really respected my mum. But then, of course, the flip side of that is like being a bit of a doormat and not standing up for myself and not speaking up when I actually know better in some ways, not in every way. I'm not saying, because you've got to be careful here, right? Like I'm not saying that, men should make all decisions and wear the trousers. Like we're a team, right? My wife and I are a team. There are things that she is better at than me and vice versa. And I think in the past, I would let her take the lead a lot more than me, which was exhausting for her. Mm. So actually by stepping up, making more decisions, being prepared to make the wrong decision and not listening to, because you know Ash would very lovingly question me a lot. Like, are you sure this is right? Are you sure we didn't do this? And I wasn't sure, but I had to just go, well, I've been, you know, I know a lot about this subject, or I know a lot about this topic. I've done my research. I think this is the best thing for us to do. And then just being okay with the outcome, rather than, you know, she grew up in Australia. She's got a lot of family here. So I would trust her to take the lead on a lot of things. And I think that was putting too much pressure on her. So. Is that answering the question or have I gone off a bit of a segue?
I mean, I think all of our conversations go off into a bit of a segue, but I think it was fine. I think it's just genuinely like how you deal with balancing. Yeah.
Sorry, good question. Yeah. So for me, it's about feedback in my life. So I'm like, what's working well in my life and what isn't working well? Yeah. So if my kids are like, we had a conversation the other day. I was really struggling with like how reactive my kids were being. I was just like, mate, I don't remember what I was saying about Murray, like, I don't know what's going on with Murray. Like, he's like a different kid at the moment. He's just, obviously he's 3 years old. There's big emotions there anyway, but this was getting ridiculous. And you were just like, how much one-on-one time are you spending with him? Mm. And I was like, okay, not much. Mm. So, this is the way I suppose I try and live my life is like, I just look for feedback. So if something's going really, really well, that's because I'm doing something right. But if something's not going well, it's like, okay, well, there's something to work on here. Mm. So if I'm not being intimate with my wife and, you know, if I'm not happy, there's something there's not right. Mm. So then I need to, and that's what I said before, there's no generic answer because, you know, for me, I started painting Warhammer again, like I did as a kid. Like there's no self-help books that say, you know, go to Games Workshop and buy plastic toy soldiers and paint them. Like that's not, so, you know, everyone's like, go to the gym, you know, get out in nature. And that's great, but you just need to find what you enjoy and then do it unashamedly. And then just, I suppose, be really conscious that if what you enjoy is like going getting wasted with your mates at the weekend, that's probably not the right answer.
Mm.
So it's something that's holistically going to help you and make you feel better.
Mm.
And there's still, you know, I still think there's a time and a place for like socializing with your mates. And if that means going out and having a few too many beers occasionally, and if that's what you want to do, then that's fine. But does that make sense? Like, no, find definitely holistic things that are going to improve your life and improve your mood. And that's what's going to help with that balance.
Yeah. So it's this very sacrificial balance too, right? Because it's like you're saying there, it's not necessarily just going out and doing what you used to do,
yeah,
you know, just going out and getting drunk every weekend or whatever it is that, you know, you used to do. It's about what fills your cup. It's about what's going to help you be the best that you can be.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit sacrificial. Like, so for me, for sure, the same sort of thing. Is like I used to love going out forward driving all the time, motorbike riding. When I was younger, I couldn't, you know, it just got too expensive. But I used to love that sort of stuff. Now I can't do it as much, and that's fine. Like I, you know, it would be like, but I still need to do something to
feel, scratch that itch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I seriously took my Ford Cougar up, you know, with you the other weekend up the forest, and like, yeah, I couldn't do what I could do, but I just got out, took my kids with me. It was a challenge too, because kids have an attention span of 2 seconds and we're up there for about half an hour. But yeah, so finding that balance is really, really important. It is sacrificial balance, but it's still a balance, and it's going to help us become better dads. It's going to help us to be better partners. And that's a huge value for us. And that's something that we just want to really encourage our listeners to, for this episode, is we've just chatted, we've just rambled, we've just sort of just shared with you guys a little bit of insight into our catch ups and what we talk about, to encourage you as well to get plugged into a dad's group, but just find a mate, like find another dad bud that you can catch up with and just share these things. Be intentional about your fatherhood journey, be intentional about becoming a better partner and supporting your partner in through this life-changing moment of being a dad. It is the most rewarding thing that we've been a part of, but it's one of the most challenging as well. You've just heard a little bit of an insight of our struggles and our challenges, and we're still working through them. We don't have the answers. This 100%, is just sharing with you guys what we're doing and how we're going about it. So, but mate, it's been so great catching up today, dude. I know it's been very rushed. We probably won't meet back in this shed next time. It is, it's got challenges, but it's great, man. It's just great to just catch up again, dude. And like I said before, Aaron and I haven't actually caught up. We didn't really brief before having this chat. We just caught up, and this is what it usually looks like. So I love doing it, mate, even though it's over a podcast. Love hanging out with you, love your encouragement, love your journey, because it just encourages me so much more too. But yeah, cheers, man. It's been great.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, thank you for the chat. Always yeah, this, we talk about filling cups, and this for me, like, yeah, I said this morning, I was feeling real low energy,
yeah,
and now I'm ready to jump back in there, and you know, it's nearly nap time, so I've timed this well. But yeah, I'm ready to go, yeah, try and be the best dad I can be, for sure.
Fantastic. All right, guys, we're going to go and obviously have a little cuddle after this. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll hope to see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Awesome. And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dad's Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.